Amen. Welcome back to the Antrim Faith Baptist Church. And open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12 and verse 13 and verse 14. Tonight, I want to challenge you on this topic. Take heed. Amen. Take heed. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, I have several points I want to give you. If you keep notes tonight, I've got several points and I have sub-points and then I have some Greek words I want to throw at you. I looked them up. I doubt I'm going to pronounce them correctly, but don't critique me. Don't send me nasty emails and say, you said this wrong, but that's okay. If you want to, if it makes you happy, makes you have a better world, then go right ahead. Amen. But anyways, my first point is first of all, there's a warning. Here in this passage of Scripture, The warning. There's many times in the Bible, there's a warning. He's telling us different times, different words, different phrases. Beware, he says in one passage. He shares with us, behold, in another. Warnings, attention getters. And here he gives us these two words, take heed, brethren. Take heed. We could paint a big sign in regards to the things of this world. We would paint a big sign and say, beware, he says. Beware. Right. And my friend, tonight, I want to give you a warning. I want to give you a warning. Because it's so easy, as I mentioned the other day, it's so easy to be desensitized to the things of this world, to the things of the devil, to the things that are evil, and to the things that are wicked, that little by little we allow things to eat on us and work us down and continue to work us down until we start yielding unto the things that are not of God. And here in this passage, Paul is talking to the Hebrews and he's reaching here into the Scriptures and he's telling us here, brethren, take heed, the warning. And he's not warning the world. He's not warning the lost. He's warning the brethren. And tonight, my friend, the warning is to you. And the warning's to me. And the warning's to all as we read the Scriptures. That we need to see the warning. What should we be? There be a warning of, Brother Holzclaw. Well, my friend, can I tell you something? I'm not here to list tonight. If I go down a list, and there's things already here that we're going to look at, I mean, we can go and we can check that list off on our own mind of the things that we need to be warned about. We need to set our eyes and set our minds and reset and get ourselves back to the Word of God and back to the things of God. I mean, if you have a habit of listening to talk radio all the time, can I get you to maybe turn it off for a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, there's so much going on. Can I tell you something? It will still be going on when you turn it back on. Okay? It will still be going on. And don't forget, don't regret that, because they'll mention it again and again and again and again and again. And sure enough, somebody else is going to tell you what's going on. But turn the TV off. Turn the TV on. Get some good, godly, Christian music. If we were to get rid of that, and all of a sudden you stay off of it for about a month, and then you turn it back on, your initial senses of spirit and of faith will go, ooh, I don't remember that. Ow! Man, this is an awful episode. But my friend, they've all been awful episodes. You just got so used to it. So the warning, we are living in some terrible times, and yet these are wonderful times too. These are wonderful times. We are living in the last days, and some men preach, and they get gloomy that we're living in the end days. Amen!
Amen.
We're living in the end days! Yes!
Right.
Amen. But can I tell you something? Something is happening the Bible told us to warn about. He said in these last days that things would wax worse and worse and worse. And that, he also said in these last days, there'll be a departing from the faith.
Yes.
So here, Paul is writing these things to us here, the warning, and I will go forward. He says here first, take heed, brethren. He says, lest there be in any of you, what? An evil heart. An evil heart. He's saying, he's talking to the brethren, he's talking to the Christians. He said, I want to give you a warning, lest there be in any of you. He didn't say, unless there be any evil. Okay? Can I say something? There's evil around us. He didn't say, lest there be any evil around you. He said, lest there be any evil in you. He says, beware. Beware of this evil. Beware of allowing the evil to get in. Beware of allowing it to creep in your eye gate and your ear gate. And then it starts festering in your heart and it starts coming out in your actions and your words. He says, beware. Lest there be any of you in an evil heart. But not only an evil heart, but the evil heart leads to what? Right there. Number two, unbelief. An evil heart will lead into unbelief. Or you say B, the warning for an evil heart or unbelief. I want this word of unbelief, and it's apistia, 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 by which we get our word apostasy. Apostasy. Well, what does that mean? It means faithless. It means disbelief, lack of Christian faith, or unfaithfulness. Or disobedience. Or as the word is, unbelief. Unbelief. You know, he's talking to the brethren here. Can brethren be in the realm of unbelief? Yeah, they can. Especially when you're running with evil around you and evil in you. And if you allow evil to be around you, evil will eventually be in you and you will be running in the realm of unbelief. You talk to guys that read the Bible, talk to guys that pray, you talk to guys that don't go to church, you ask them, can God meet my need? And we respond with a hearty,
amen.
Thanks, Pastor. And we respond with a hearty,
amen.
Everything, okay, thank you again, Pastor. Ready? And we respond with a hearty, amen. But to those that without, they would say, well, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. You know, I prayed to God once and he never met my needs. My answer to him is, are you living? Are you breathing? Then he's met your needs. Amen. He's met your needs. But the realm of unbelief is because of the fact that we have that evil heart. He says, take heed, Christian. Take heed, brethren. Take heed. You may be walking on a high spiritual realm, but take heed lest there be evil, any evil in you, in some of you, evil's in, and then that evil will go to the realm of unbelief. Apostasy. The root of this one here, apistia, is the root word apistos, A-P-I-S-T-O-S, meaning disbelieving, being without Christian faith. Especially the heathen, meaning untrustworthy or incredible. Not incredible, but I mean having no credibility. That believeth not, faithless, an incredible thing, an infidel, an unbeliever. That's how close this word unbelief is. Unbelief to the Christian, it's as if he's going over here to the realm of being an infidel, a lost person, a person that rejects God. My friend, that's sad, wouldn't you think? That's a sad state to be in. My friend, any time and any place you or I can be in that one position if we allow ourselves to slip and being around the evil, but more so letting the evil come in. He says, warning, take heed of the evil heart. Take heed of the unbelief. But he says also, those that have, that may be in you, or those of which are in departing from the living God. Departing from the living God. I'll look that word up. Aphistemi. Meaning to remove. Meaning to instigate, to revolt. To despise, to desert. Not the food you eat, but to get out. To depart, to draw away, to refrain, to withdraw self. And my friend, we are living in these days.
Yes.
We are living in these days when there's evil in the church. And there's unbelief in the church.
You're right.
And now we are departing from the living God in the church.
You're right. You're right.
It's more about self. It's more about self-pleasure. It's about showing off. More than it is about giving true praise unto the Lord. Depart from the living God. You've removed yourself. You have distanced yourself. He says, take heed, church. Take heed, brethren. Lest you allow your heart to depart from the living God. And any child of God that would say, here, I'm going to walk away from God. And you would think anybody that would walk away from God is a backslider.
That's right. That's right.
We would think, in a sense, a terrible person, but yet needs to get right with God. So why do you say that's pretty harsh? But also, let's call him a terrible person. My friend, can I tell you something? If you were in prison and you were destined and guilty to die, and I came up, let's change around. If Pastor came up to see you and spoke to the judge on your behalf and said, Judge, if you'll take my son, Stephen, my oldest son, to die in this man's place so he can go free. And the judge says, that's not normal. He says, I know it's not normal, but this guy deserves life. Okay. So Stephen goes back into the solitary confinement set up to die and does die for this guy, and this guy gets out free. What do you think that guy should do when he comes to me, Pastor? What do you think he should do? Hey, I would think he would take his place. I think he would take his son's place and say, I will be your son as you have sent your son to die for me. Think about that. But how many times do we do that? Do we do that to God? Have we set ourselves aside to God? No. No, we don't. We distance ourselves. We distance ourselves from the things of God. We distance ourselves from the preaching of God. We distance ourselves from the standards of God. We distance ourselves from that by embracing those things that we're not supposed to be around. Beware, church, beware. He who has given us so much that deserve, as it says in the Scriptures, that it's just a reasonable service. But beware. Beware of an evil heart. Beware of unbelief. Beware from departing from the living God. And then he goes on and says, verse 2, but exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be what? Be hardened. Be hardened. That word there, look that up. Scleruno is the word. I like the definition. It means hard to harden. But to give you a better idea, it means to render stubborn. To render stubborn. Hardened. I've been in services at times and I've preached and I knew that there was someone in the church that was living in sin, and here was an opportunity through the preaching and the Scriptures with a tender heart and a tearful eye to share the need and the desire for one to get one's heart right with God. And yet at the invitation, even through the message, you can see the arms crossing over and the feet crossing over and the pose of I am not moving. You can say whatever you want to, preacher. I'm not moving. The preacher just goes off, and really the man gets even harder and colder And deep down inside his heart, his stubbornness flares up, and what he's saying is, God, I don't want to hear you. Take heed, church. Take heed. Maybe you've gotten to this point. Maybe you've gotten to where you have an evil heart creeping in, and you've got some disbelief flowing through, and you're slowly departing from the living God because your heart now has gotten hardened. And I'm going to show you how that happens next. He says here, today, let they be hardened. How? Through the what? Deceitfulness of sin. My friend, we are living in a day and an age of deceit and deceitfulness. It's all around us. What? It's in our nature. Deceitfulness is in our nature. Deceitfulness was in the Garden of Eden with the serpent. And we've been so deceived so many times that we have been sucked into this realm of deceit that we say, oh, okay, this is fine. We live in a realm of deceit. The sleight of hand. That's all that these magicians do, and all that these illusionists do. They try to get you to look here while they're doing something back here to deceive you with. Deceit. To be deceived. Deception. To be deceived or led astray by a false thinking that leads to a false decision, that leads to a false act, and that leads to big trouble, mister. So where do you get that from, Brother Holtzclaw? Well, we find that in the Scriptures. We find that in the Scriptures. In James chapter 1, verse 13. Let's turn there. James 1, verse 13. We're doing good time-wise. But I do need a Harrison here. Deception. We're living in the realm of being deceived. We are deceived. We're deceived by sin. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. If any man says that, and I'm stopping here, but if any man says, God's tempting me, no, my friend, you're deceived.
Right.
Well, God's been tempted? No, sir. You've been deceived.
Right.
Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's enticed. He's pulled away. He's deceived. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Deception. Deception brings a division. Deception. Deception brings confusion. Deception. Deception brings the lack of faith. And the lack of trust.
That's right.
Deception. Deception brings heartache to others. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of deception in the church. There's a lot of deception in the homes. To deceive one another. We like to tell just partial truths. My friend, we need to be honest. We need to be truthful. We need to be upfront.
That's right.
And not to deceive. For my friend, deception. Deception. Preachers deceiving their church members, saying they're going to do something and then not doing it. That's deception. Deception. But same thing with people. Church members saying that they're going to be at a service or they're going to be a part of a special function or be a part of a special giving and then don't. That's deceptive. That's just being deceived. Here's some verses for you. Let me read through them. Proverbs 20:17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Yes.
Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
That's good.
1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, it says. Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth his own self. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden.
Right.
But bear your own burden. Hey, can I tell you something? You're deceptive. Basically, you're saying you're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Or skirt on fire. But that will follow you, my friend. Deception. The serpent deceived Eve and caused trouble in the garden. Judas deceived the disciples and Jesus and wound up destroying himself. 2 Timothy 4:10 tells us about Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, he deceived himself and he deceived others. But my friend, we have a decision to make. We have a decision to make. Luke 16:13 says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So take heed. Take heed, the Scriptures say. So not only, first of all, is there warning. Secondly, there's the awakening. The awakening. Wake up! Amen? Sometimes I do that with Maggie. I get her. It's morning has already come and noon is about to be upon us. Knock, knock, knock. Yeah. Wake up! In fact, here's the dog! We got a 7-month-old puppy. And that little puppy goes berserk. Put it on top. And the puppy goes berserk, yeah. So she's in bed. I put the puppy on the bed with her. And that puppy's tail's just going... trying to find Maggie's face. Where's her face? Where's her face? Where's her face? Where's her face? All tongue, all nose, everything shaking everywhere. Wake up! You know? The awakening. The awakening. He says, take heed, brethren. Take heed for what's going on. Take heed of these things. Be watchful for these things. Set a protection about you. Be involved, he says, in doing this. But he says this in the awakening. I like there in verse 13. He says, but... he says there, exhort one another, what? Daily. I like that. Exhort one another daily. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen? We ought to exhort one another. We ought to lift up one another. The word there, exhort, in the Greek is parakleo, which is very akin to paraklesis, which is the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. Parakleo, meaning to call near, to invite, or to invoke by imploration, exhortation, or consolation, to beseech, to call for, to be a good comfort, to be a good desire, to give exhortation. To entreat, to pray. Those are good definitions. To exhort one another. Amen? Amen? To exhort. To come alongside and help bear up and lift up another man or another lady in the Lord. Hey, you look like a little down. You're down today. Let me be your cheerleader today, okay? Who should I pick up? Stephen. Give me an S. Give me a T. Give me an E. And a B. And an E. And a... and what's the spell? Stephen. You can do it, buddy. You can do it. You can serve Jesus today. Stephen says, okay. Okay. We're supposed to exhort one another. We're supposed to exhort one another in the Lord. And that's what we're talking about here. Exhortation. Exhortation. Exhort in the Lord. But not only are we to exhort each other in the Lord, which is what we have here, but he also says, but exhort one another while it is called today. We got to do it today. But also in verse 14, he says, for we were made partakers of Christ. We are partakers of Christ. I have Christ. And because I have Christ, I've already been exhorted.
Amen.
So I can go out and be exhorting to those who are not exhorted.
Amen.
So by that, I'm a partaker of God. Let's exhort the awakening. We need to wake up and get out there and encourage one another, Lord. We need to be, because we are partakers of Christ, partakers of His love, partakers of His mercy, partakers of His inheritance. Wow! And definitely, as we learned last night, partakers of His mission. Partakers of His mission. Exhort one another, the awakening. And then he says in that same latter part of that verse, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, he says, we hold the beginning of our confidence. What is that, Brother Holtzclaw? That brings me back to the stones again. It's remembering.
Amen.
It's coming back again to that which we were confident in. Her brother just mentioned about his testimony about inviting Christ into his heart, how he was always searching for something, and many people are. I know folks have said it's as if a man has a puzzle for a heart, and one piece is missing and keeps trying different pieces to fit in there. The square peg does not fit into a round hole. And we keep trying everything this world has to offer, but there's only one piece, the right piece, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to fill that heart and fill that spot of every man, woman, and child. Amen!
Yes.
Because of that, my friend, when we have that, and we have it in our heart, we need to run back to that and remember our salvation. We need to remember our teaching that's been shared to us. The discipleship that's been given to us. We need to remember the blessings that have been poured upon us. And yes, remember the miracles. Remember the miracles. So hold the beginning of our confidence, he says. And then he says to be steadfast unto the end. Steadfast unto the end. That means being unmovable. Ain't moving. This is my spot in line. I ain't moving. It could take me 5 hours to get to the front, but I ain't moving. I'm going to ride that roller coaster if it kills me. But I ain't moving. Steadfast. Stubborn.
Amen.
And there's some things we ought to be steadfast in.
Yeah.
And there's some things we ought to be stubborn in. I'm stubborn about my King James Bible.
Amen.
I'm stubborn about the virgin birth. I'm Amen. Stubborn about my Lord Jesus being the way. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. I'm stubborn that way.
Amen.
So you're narrow-minded, Brother Holsley. Yes, I am. I'm about that narrow-minded. Amen.
Amen.
Right there. Probably heard that before. But it says, hold on to the beginning of the confidence to be steadfast. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Just over a couple pages. In Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 22. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. This is going to lead down to a familiar verse that we read. But I want you to, let's get to it. Hebrews 10, 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full, what? Assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, the Holy Spirit. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know the word provoke means? Poke. I'll poke you in the glove. I want to poke you into to good things. Good works. Verse 25. Thus, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching.
Right.
What day is that? What day is he talking about here? Is he talking about oh, Sunday's coming. No, he's not talking about because Sunday's coming. He's saying it because the Lord's coming.
That's right.
He is coming. And my friend, we must be about our Father's business. There's enough we were just talking about peer pressure. Maggie and I and Mama just not too long ago talking about peer pressure. And when she goes to college, she's going to face some peer pressure. I pray it's a good peer pressure. Amen. I pray she's under the good direction and she gets some good friends out there. Oh, there's some bad peer pressure in Bible college? Yes, there is some bad peer pressure in Bible college. It's small, but it's there. It is small. This is the ones that we would call Papa called and Mama sent.
Yeah.
You're going to Bible college and Mama says, your bag's all packed. Okay. And they're there because they got kicked out of the house or they were forced to go out of their free will just to give 1 year. But they're there, but they're going to do whatever they want to do while they're there until they get kicked out. Well, they're done. And my friend, that's not the peer pressure I want for my youngins. That's not the peer pressure I want in my church. I strive within our youth group and with the groups that I have to get them to rally together, the good young teenagers to rally together and then pressure those who are following the Lord, those who have gone astray, and pressure them in that right way, in love and in truth, and to bring them in. Amen? I like good peer pressure. And so here, we ought to be encouraging one another, pushing one another, and moving forward because the Lord is coming soon.
Yes.
And if we don't push now, and we don't encourage now, there will be many that will be under the last one. Because here's my third point. The wanting. The wanting. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 26. Belshazzar is now the new king, and he has been a wicked king. He's in Babylon, but he was worse than his dad. And now the handwriting is on the wall. Remember that story? And here it is, Daniel 25. And this is the writing that was written as Daniel gives the interpretation. Many, many tickle you farson. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Then he says, Tekel, T-E-K-E-L, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Perez, are you Farsin? Perez, same word. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Can I tell you something? One day we're going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that handwriting is already in the book. That book will be open. And He opens up that book and the things that we have done and things we haven't done, they're going to be sitting there or not sitting there, or it's going to be there and it's going to be blotted out or crossed through or disappeared because we were once faithful but we turned from the Lord. We have gone away, and now as we stand before the Lord, just like Belshazzar, we're going to be found wanting. Wanting. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and this is my last passage. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For here at that day, here at that day, here at the judgment seat of Christ, here at that day will we stand before Him. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Oh yes. Oh yes, you'll be in heaven. Oh yes. You'll be there. You made it. You've made it. But those treasures that you laid up in heaven of wood, hay, and stubble, my friend, when that fire comes,
yep.
That emptiness, the vanity things that you did, and the emptiness things that you did, that you claimed, oh, I did that for God, gone.
That's right.
but the hard work, the tender heart, the going, the precious souls for Jesus, and the treasures that we've laid up where moth and rust does not corrupt. Oh, my friend, take heed. Take heed, there is a judgment coming. Take heed and be careful, brethren. Be careful to not let the evil in. Take care not to let it get on you and get in you till you get hardened. So you don't hearken unto the Lord. May we be always pliable, always movable, not having an evil heart, not dwelling in the realm of unbelief, not departing from the living God, but drawing closer to Him, not allowing ourselves to deceive and deceiving ourselves. Here's my three phrases. Get in. Get on board. And get moving.
That's
right. Get in. Get on board. And get moving. And God will bring the blessings again. God will start moving again. And little by little, you'll be adding more to the pile. Another precious stone from the River Jordan. But with their heads bowed and eyes closed at this time, what's hindering you? What's stopping you? Maybe this time last year you got your heart right with God and you were ready to rock, ready to roll for the Lord, but something happened along the way. Something crossed your path, and instead of getting things right, you allowed yourself to be deceived. And in that deception of self, or the deception of this world, the deception of others, you allowed the evil to creep in. And that evil came in. And little by little, that realm of unbelief. And then you've turned a little bit further to have turned away from the living God. And then your heart's hardened. Your preacher preaches hard, but sometimes it's good to have another preacher come in and plow up the same ground. And my friend, maybe I am plowing up the same ground that your preacher has challenged to you before. My friend, can I tell you something though? Soft ground takes it easy. It's the hard ground that takes it rough. Let your heart be broken up. Let the soil be ready for the seed to be planted. And so that the fruit will grow and grow into your heart and life. I've not walked with you. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I see the outside, but I haven't really had a chance to sit down and talk to you and ask you to see where you are, to see how you are. Have you already let the evil in? Are you already walking in unbelief? Are you already separating yourself? Are you allowing yourself to be deceived so much that it's looking better outside than it is in? Oh, my friend, let me exhort you tonight. Let me lift you up. Let me share with you, if we draw nigh unto God, He said He'll draw nigh unto us. He said if we go to Him in forgiveness, that He would forgive us. Jesus said that we must forgive, and how many times should we give? 7 times 7? No, 70 times 7. Oh, my friend, forgiveness is there. The Lord is there to give for forgiveness, to help us to move forward. But let's go back a little bit. Let's remember. Let's remember what has already been done for us of the Lord, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God. And take it forward now. And move it forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Where will you be? What will you have to give? What will you lay at the Savior's feet? May it be gold, precious gems, special things, and not the other junk. So tonight, music plays. How's about let's have revival? That's what we came for. Let's have revival tonight and let God move us. Take heed, lest you fall. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for this evening. Guide us, dear Lord. May all things be done according to Your will and way. Lord, we love You. Lord, help our feet moved as You've touched our heart. And be obedient. Lord, we love You and pray this in Jesus' name.